from different places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hi,
I'm Beth.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jessica. And we're just your everyday Methodist
to the madness.
Welcome, people of America.
Welcome.
How?
Welcome, everyone.
Both doing today, Beth and Tim.
Welcome, everyone, except for one person. You know.
Yeah, you
who
know
is
who
it?
Are. They know who they are.
Is that Jessica's baby?
Yeah. I was upset when I heard that we were going to have a new co-host without being talked to. Dead to me now.
It was really, that was really funny. The sheer silence of like, I think you'd probably want to talk to your other co-hosts about that.
I just had like a really big, wide, open mouth.
That involved in like your baby making process too.
I know, because I...
Earlier, Jessica.
Because I had told you guys that we went down there in what? Was it July? Yeah, the beginning of July. And then that was it. And now we're in September.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I really. Yeah, that's, I guess it could have went one of two ways. One, you got pregnant, or two, you just completely gave up and decided not to talk about it anymore.
Totally. And I think a lot of women make the same decision.
That's a good point, actually.
And also, because it's been such a difficult time for you, like, that's not a thing that I want to bring up unless I know you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because it took us over 2 years for the entire process. And I think we've been very open about it. And I know a lot of people just naturally want to insert, you know, comment. And and while we respect it, we also know that I think I've heard so many stories of women's journeys and women's pregnancies that, you know, I wanted to be as transparent as we felt we could be while also maintaining boundaries.
And
so I've found that a lot of people who have been along for the journey have been very appreciative, and not only that, they were able to feel like they were part of the entire process as well, and they were, you know, just as excited as we were when we found out. And so and that's, I think, what community is, you know, and that's kind of where we find our tribe. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
So
people are going to tell you a lot of their horror stories too, and I am so sorry about that. They probably told you that.
They're
their horror stories.
Yeah, it's so far in, it's more so been interesting on what people, their first comments are and what they feel I need to be aware of. Because then I'm like, you must have had a really bad experience with that particular experience. And so, you know, I just take it with a little grain of salt, because at the end of the day, I trust what Google tells me. No, I'm just kidding.
There's never been misinformation on the internet or Google.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I pay attention to AI. Google things. I'll go to ChatGPT, ask them what to expect, and then I just know what's going to happen.
AI is also very reliable. So I'm
All of these are reliable sources.
Yeah.
You can go on Wikipedia if you want.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go in after you look at stuff and change everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, go in there, change everything. Somebody else reads it. They're like, hey, you know, that person, they put all the correct information when they changed everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. So saying, please do not follow anything that we're saying because we are not serious.
That no. was
we will what? Not was be that? Dashing any little ones on the rocks.
Correct.
Right. And we certainly will not be doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of humor that was. Maybe it was sarcasm the entire time.
That was part of the sermon. Part of the sermon, and literally one of the verses that was read.
Oh, yeah, that the verse. But I mean, all that stuff that we were talking about Wikipedia and ChatGPT, and we were all kind of serious, but not. Wait, no, we weren't serious at all. It was sarcasm, right?
I think it was ADHD.
It was.
It was ADHD humor.
We launched into something. Was this your update? What's going on with you, Jessica?
Yeah, that's a pretty good launch. Yeah, Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
We got the rocket ship going, and you might as well fly away with it.
Things have been good. I've been really tired. I feel like that's going to be every week for the next six.
I believe you now. I'm going to say she's lying, but because you yawned as you said it, that makes
it legitimate. Yeah,
that's the most convincing way to tell somebody that you're tired. You yawn in mid sentence.
Absolutely.
Just like when I say, "Hey, I can't come into work because I'm sick." I just cough twice, and then they're like,
"Right,
yeah." Yeah. Oh, she must be very sick. Or if you're one of I don't know how to say this, because I don't think any of my students listen to this, but if anybody who is partaking in higher education, maybe they message their instructor a screenshot of someone else's COVID test, then they're like, sorry, can't come to campus.
Genius.
Wow, actually, I didn't think of that. That is a pretty good idea, technically.
Then a quick Google first. And
they don't have to go through what we had to go through as kids, where we had to like memorize our parents' handwriting and say that we have to go to the dentist in a little note. You know, maybe that was just me. I don't know.
Did you do that? I'd never. My mom has really cool handwriting.
Yeah.
Is this my mom's handwriting?
Oh, that's really cool.
Oh, wow.
So for everyone that's not able to see, Beth's mom's handwriting looks like it is an actual font for Microsoft Word.
Yes.
Yeah. It's excellent.
She's really proud of her handwriting and she like worked on it for like, that's one of the things she did like in her high school years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And so her signature like is just this perfect signature that I couldn't duplicate even if I wanted to. I wanted to use it for like malicious reasons, like to try to get out of school. I just wanted to see if I could replicate it and not.
Yeah, I definitely memorized my mom's handwriting. We have very similar handwriting. And yes, I went to the dentist probably 30 days my senior year. I can't say that I loved high school, but somehow I graduated. Other than that, so yeah, it's just been a really fun week. Been able to kind of share updates with people and. We keep looking at the ultrasound video because it's insane. Video is like, if you ever run into me, I'd be more than happy to share it with you. Because it basically, I think we're going to have like either a soccer player or something that can like jump really high because... Yeah. A gymnast, yeah, maybe a gymnast, maybe a really good basketball player.
Kangaroo.
Yeah, because it was like jumping around like as we were doing the ultrasound. And I was like incredibly impressed because it was like, yeah, a bunny. Yes.
Yeah, a bunny. Very nice.
Because it's currently, I think it's like almost 2 inches long at this point, which is very small. But we've just been really amazed at how incredible the body is.
The body is a miracle.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, so awesome.
It is an incredible miracle. And God is so cool.
Yeah. That is incredible. My gosh.
Yeah. Oh, I will share one thing and then I'm done.
Okay.
I just found out that my sister lives in Iowa. My older, younger sister. So I have two younger half sisters that are like early 20s that come from my stepdad and my mom's combination. I don't know how to say that. They're my sisters. And, anyways, they're in their early 20s. And my older, younger sister, she just started her first ever adult Bible study. She's always been like in college.
Oh, cool.
Kind of stuff. And now she's in her adult one. And she messaged me and she had a picture with her and one of my best friends from high school.
Oh my goodness.
Like, guess who I ran into? And long story short, the girl that she was with was a girl that I had ended up, you know, leading to Christ. Wow. And her whole family then found Jesus. And I was really, really good friends with that entire family because they were all just like completely not, you know, they didn't believe in God and they didn't. And I just kept showing up my weird self. And, you know, anyway, so that was in high school. And now fast forward, however many years, what has it been? 19 years.
Whoa.
Now 19 years since high school. And, now she is a mentor for my sister.
Whoa, that is so cool.
So basically I am a mentor for my sister still.
Yeah.
No, but I just think that's like the coolest thing.
Yeah. It's like a butterfly effect thing.
Yeah. And,
yeah. Like what an impact you've made on people.
Well, you don't think about it. I think that's the beautiful thing about ministry is that we just live our lives and never to have the goal of like having this tally of how many people can you save. It's a matter of just building
relationships. 75 so far and counting.
It's more of just building relationships with people because you genuinely love them and you care about them. And
yes,
you know, inadvertently, maybe they find Jesus because they see that in you or they're just curious. And and now my best friend from high school is mentoring my sister in a youth in a small group. So very cool. That was awesome to see and very excited about that. But that's it. That's my updates for this past week.
Awesome, Jessica. Very nice.
Cool.
Tim.
So, okay, I didn't have this as part of my update, but it just became part of my update. So we were supposed to record 30 minutes prior to our recording now, but I had to delay us because I needed to. I forgot that I needed to return a package. And then I found out that I needed to put a shipping label inside the box. So I had to take the tape. Like cut through the box that was already taped up. It was already in the car, everything. It was a gigantic box. It was two chairs I'll get into this when I talk about Grace Fest. But basically, we decided not to keep the chairs that we use for Grace Fest, my mom and I. So these were in the box and the box was huge. So I had to bring it inside, open up the box and put the shipping label in. No problem. Go to the post office. I happened to be standing in line and there's this nice lady that I was talking to and she was shipping some of her garden vegetables to some of her family in different states. And she had like five boxes and it was a really nice conversation. We just started talking. It was neat. But then I find out that I went to the wrong area to ship my box. I was actually supposed to ship it at UPS, not USPS.
Oh my goodness. I've done that before. Craig sent his cell phone back and it was supposed to go to FedEx, but I put it in the USPS mailbox and We still don't know what happened to it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I didn't even have to stand in line either. I did not have to stand in line. I could have just scanned the thing. No, but I wasn't even supposed to be there to scan the thing. I was just not supposed to be there in the USPS area, period.
No,
So I drove to UPS and then, okay, no problem. But then there was a really long line. I'm like, oh, I need to make it so that we can record the podcast. And I hadn't listened to the sermon yet. I was going to listen to the sermon, but it just didn't happen until today. I hadn't listened to it. And I'm like, oh, it's a really long line. And I happened to notice some kiosk that was right next to me. And I'm like, I asked this random lady what it is. And I'm like, is this a self-checkout? And she's like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't think so. And then this guy comes over and he's like, oh, yeah, that's a self-checkout. And then, like, I guess it draws attention to the entire situation, helps the lady that I asked about the whether it was a self-checkout. And then he helps me. And I basically cut the line or something, even though I was in a completely different area.
Yeah.
It was pretty chaotic. So anyway, going to the Grace Fest update, I thought it was really nice going to Grace Fest. There were some really nice speakers. I really liked how one of the speakers was like, talking about how you don't want to necessarily have one foot in the non-Christian life and one foot in the Christian life. You want to try to be all in with Christ, and you'll have a much more fulfilling experience, like not only just like living out like your path with Jesus, but also just in general, like being a loving person and being caring towards others and having less problems with just all sorts of stuff, like maybe things you don't want to be doing, addictions, like you name it, like you're just going to have a much better life if you put everything in for Christ. So I thought that was really inspirational. I never heard Skillet before I came to this Grace Fest. And that was very interesting music. I'm kind of encouraged to take a look at that on YouTube now that I, because there's a lot of people talking, oh, Skillet. And I'm like, I see people with their shirts. They have the Skillet shirts and everything. So that was pretty neat. So I had a nice time. One mistake that I made was I went to one of the food trucks and it took forever. Like I was legitimately standing there for like 45 minutes or something.
Oh my gosh.
But I got some Thai food I got it from the High Thai truck. And I got this thing called the Pad See Ooh, which is basically some ooh. Yes. There's some like special noodle things inside it and some like chicken, and it's all like the same shape somehow, or at least it looked like that when I was eating it. And it was actually really good. So anybody who hasn't had Thai food, the High Thai truck is actually a really good Thai truck. So that's my update on Grace Fest. And then the other thing that I wanted to share is, so this has kind of been like some sort of series thing where I've been sharing that I've been reading that visual novel canon. And I realized the last 2 weeks I've been kind of vague about explaining what it is really. And basically, I actually finished canon. And it turns out that canon is a choose your own adventure kind of visual novel. To where you have five paths in the game. And so I finished one of the paths. And basically the whole premise of the story is there's this character named Yuichi. He's the main protagonist. And 7 years prior to his prior to the present day, he went to this snowy town. And in the present day, he basically had forgotten everything that happened 7 years ago. And so like you're the main character, Yuichi. And the whole point is to like, live out your slice of life experience, like going to school and so forth. And in the meantime, you have all these interactions with like all these girls. And basically, this is a bishojo game. So like the whole point is to be like interacting with like attractive girls in the game. And so it doesn't really necessarily appeal to everyone, but it's kind of like a Japanese culture thing. And like it's like a big genre. But it's a really compelling story, and it has like these really great themes. Like I had to write them down because there were like five things that like stood out to me. So it covers dreams, memories, wishes, promises, and miracles. And it's actually a romance visual novel. I didn't realize that until I finished the path. I'm like, this is full on romance. So I guess I'm like a romance person, and I didn't know that. I guess I sort of knew that. And it's really weird because I'm like aromantic, but then I like to read like romance novels and movies and watch romance movies and stuff like that. Anyhow, I had like,
complex, Tim.
What?
Humans are complex.
Yes, humans are complex indeed. I had like such a great experience reading canon. Like I just really loved the ending and I'm just like looking forward to continuing to read it, but I'm taking a break now from reading it. And what I'm going to do now is just continue to read fiction. So because of all that time that I was spending reading that fiction book, basically visual novel, it's given me like a strong like push to read fiction in general instead of like internet surfing and stuff like that, which is really fascinating. So I guess I just needed to do it a few days to where I was like focusing on reading a story for days on end to where it would like override anything that I would normally do. So I've been reading this book called A Winner's Promise by Christelle Gabos.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have talked about that book before, but it's a really good book. And so it's really encouraging that I've actually been able to follow through and start reading more fiction. Like this is what I've wanted to always do. And I've noticed an unexpected benefit. And that's like with not only reading more, it's become easier to read more fiction. But I noticed that it's easier for me to write as well. Like I can write like sometimes I write long text messages to friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to do that. And then it's also easier for me to write in my journal, too. I noticed like all of a sudden, like the words just come out on the page. It takes a lot less effort. It's just been very interesting. So I guess that's kind of like my update. Oh, one other thing is fiction has the following benefits. So one, I didn't come up with this or actually several of these I didn't come up with on myself, but reading it up, there was fiction kind of acts as a reality simulator. So because you have to interpret the words either on the page or when somebody's reading it to you, if it's an audiobook, it's more of an immersive experience to where it kind of like affects your reality. So it's a reality simulator and it's so like amazing and how it kind of takes you out into like another you live another character's shoes essentially. And so that's where the theory of mind comes in. So theory of mind is actually that phenomenon where you kind of are able to put yourself in another person's perspective. And then it also helps with empathy. The benefit that I noticed is it helps with writing because it just becomes easier to write all of a sudden. That's what I got for.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. I don't remember the week. It's been a long week. Mm-hmm. But I remember, actually, it hasn't. We just recorded last Wednesday, so it's been a long half a week, I guess.
Yeah,
it definitely feels like that, for sure.
Yeah. But Friday was Lucy's birthday, and she texted me. I didn't think I was going to see her on her birthday because she's having another birthday thing later, so I just thought I'd see her then. But she texted me and she said that she was coming into town early because they meet she and her ex-husband meet in Lancaster to trade off kids because he lives in Tehachapi and the valley. And so she was like, do you want to meet up and maybe you can bring Ricky? And I was like, yeah. His birthday is in September. His birthday is all of September, but because they don't know when it is. But he's 14. So is Lucy. Just kidding. It's her anniversary of turning 29, I think is what she said.
Gotcha.
So did you know that they give out pup cups for free? I just thought I've been paying for them all this time. And at Dutch Bros.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I love watching the whipped cream just like smear all over the dog's beard. And like, oh my gosh.
But it's just like pure joy when they're eating it. But also somehow so much teeth. Like I look at them and they're like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why are your teeth so involved in this? I don't know. Yeah,
for sure.
So we got to meet up. I got to meet up with Lucy and her boyfriend's mom, who's very nice. And we hung out with Ricky. And then Saturday, I thought I was going to go to the quilting group. But then I realized that I knew my improv class started on Saturday.
Oh.
But I thought it was later in the afternoon. But it's at 10:30. So I was like, I guess I can't go to quilting because I need to head to
LA. Oh my gosh.
We ended up being late by 7 minutes, but it was fine. My friend Marlene and I signed up, and like just the drive up there, and before we even got into the room and even in the room a little bit, it was the most scared and nervous I've ever been. I was like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this voluntarily? Why did we pay money to do this? What are we doing? And their teacher wasn't even there. Like he sent us an email a couple of days before the class, and he was like, just a heads up, I'm not going to be at the first class, but my friend, this guy, is going to teach it. And so
what?
Oh, wow.
Just for the first one. But then he sent an introduction video that I still haven't watched, because I felt like if I watched it, it would make it more real. And I was already like, I don't know if I want to do this, but it ended up being really fun. Like, we did an introduction activity where we had to say our name and then give an adjective with it that starts mm-hmm. with the letter. So I was breathtaking Beth.
Oh, that's cool.
Circle and yeah. And then people could yell out ideas, and I was wearing my Conan O'Brien shirt from when I went to go see him when he was still at the Warner Brothers studio doing his show.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. Like, I just was like, what should I wear? And then and for some reason I got it in my head that improv is just making fun of other people, specifically Beth. And I was like, I don't want to give them ammo to make fun of me. What should I wear? And then I found Conan shirt. I'm like, this guy's good at improv. And so one of the scenes that somebody suggested, it was like, there were four of us sitting up front, and Marlene was to my left and two other people on my right. And, when somebody asked who we were supposed to be, somebody said, what about Conan's former assistants? And I was like, great. And Marlene doesn't know anything about Conan O'Brien, and I probably know too much about him. So I was trying to keep it like not being a super fan. And it ended up being, I said that, my experience with Conan O'Brien is that I gave him his coffee and I accidentally made eye contact and he said, thank you. That was my traumatic experience. And yeah, and it was fun. Like, I think it's going to get easier as we go along, but that first class was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life. And I literally signed up for it. Like, it wasn't something that
right.
happened to me. It's something I decided to go out and do.
Well, that's very inspiring.
You did it.
Yeah. I know.
So, and it was really fun. And like, people did laugh when, you know, we were all saying stuff. And I think it's going to be good. There is a live show that we're supposed to do.
But I
don't, yeah. It's on a Tuesday, so that'll, well, Jessica, you'll just stay in Hollywood if you're working in there, but but everyone else would be like, we can't go, it's a Tuesday.
So, well, maybe I'll take a day off of work to show
up. I'm not gonna tell you when it is, but
what? Oh, okay, well, it's up to you. It's up to your discretion.
And then Sunday, Lucy texted me again. I asked her if she wanted me to stick around for the kids so they could see Ricky if they wanted to. But she worried that springing it on her oldest daughter, who's already like been through a lot because of everything, wasn't such a good idea. And she was like, maybe you can meet us when I, you know, take the kids back to be with their dad, so she would have time to prepare. So he got a pup cup from Starbucks that day, and he got to hang out with the kids for a little bit, Lucy's kids. And
oh,
nice.
Yeah. So it was a Lucy sandwich weekend with
him. Oh, nice.
And you were a Lucy goose at your first implant.
Yes.
Wait,
nice. Jessica.
Oh, wait, Jessica already went. Wait, I was...
No, I want to... Hey.
What? Oh, wait, before we leave this this topic here, I was thinking Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but instead this is Lucy in the Sky with Improv.
Yeah.
Lucy does not tire of all of the jokes that people make about her name, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. She's heard them all, and she, I don't think... You know how it is when you have a name and people make the same jokes?
Yes. Like if your name is
Young
Margo.
Wow.
I don't know Margo. You know, or
your name Margo?
I know somebody that has that name, and every time I see her, I think of that. I literally think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus all the time. So.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica, can you tack on a beginning to your name? I was thinking for my name, I either have talkative Tim or tired Tim.
I would go with the first.
What? Oh, the first. Yes.
Yeah.
You're jazzy, right. Jessica.
I'm jazzy.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Well, no, I think you've got a really good talking voice.
Oh, thank you,
Tim. And so I think that suits you really well.
Yeah, and Jazzy Jessica suits you really well because
I wear a jazz suit.
No, you bring the jazziness into our podcast, and you're also a musician.
And I jazzercise.
And jazzercise.
Were you going to say that, Beth?
No, I was going to say that you're friends with... Leslie from Leslie and the
Lies.
Yes. And so you already know all about Glitter Hands and Razzle Dazzle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
and body rolls. Absolutely. Yep.
Very nice.
Totally. Which, by the way, Leslie and her wife have an Airbnb next to their farmhouse in Iowa that they have Airbnb it out, and they literally, it's like probably one of the coolest Airbnbs I've seen besides the spaceship and Joshua Tree. Cause it's like, it's a massive barn, and they have a massive rope that hangs from the top of the barn down, and they attached a canoe, and that's like the bed.
What?
There's like a massive boat. It's not a canoe. It's like a boat, and they put a mattress. They converted it into a bed. Hanging what? From the top of the, it's the cool. Anyways, it's super cool.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, they did this like really cool thing. They made the top list for Iowa on Airbnb.
Wow.
That's really neat.
So that means we need to get an Airbnb in Iowa.
Totally.
Yeah.
I could ask them, and then we could all hang out there and
yep.
Yeah.
Maybe this will bring
more people
over. Yes, this will bring more people to Jesus.
I'm sure.
One boat bed at a time.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, speaking of bringing people to Jesus, we have some pretty awesome church updates that I'd like to get into since we spent the last 30 minutes talking about ourselves. But there's on the 19th, well, actually, let me reverse. On the 15th, 9:15 is lunch church at Scrambles. And then on the 19th of Thursday is the senior lunch at Sizzler. So inquire within. Then on the Saturday 9:21, which is September 21st, got a lot happening. Okay. Yeah. Messy church is from 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. And that is something that is going to be very exciting. Olympic themed, prizes will be given out. People will have a blast. Lives will be changed. And so definitely show up on the at the church on that Saturday. And then if you have even more fun and you're like, you know what, I think I want to keep coming back to the church, we are doing a 24-hour prayer vigil that's beginning that Saturday. So there's a sign-up sheet in the church. You can also contact Pastor Jim or the church office if you would like to virtually participate for one of the hour time slots. And that will then conclude, I believe, on Sunday morning, I believe. So sign up while you can. I know when we were at church this past Sunday, the times were filling up pretty quickly. And so just be mindful of that. Then on Sunday, September 22nd, this is a very important day for the young adult life group. We are going to be meeting for a Bible study at Amber and I's house over here in Leona Valley. So if you're interested in joining, if you haven't seen us in church to get your books, we'll provide those to you, I guess, day one, and we'll kind of go through the Bible study together and go through the first section together. But just know we will be meeting every other Sunday at our house at 1 o'clock. So that'll be after the 11 a.m. service. So we're excited about it because we're going to be talking and going through the New Testament. And because what's better than being able to hang out with a bunch of really fun people and learn about the New Testament together?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. So exciting. Wait, not nothing.
Maybe slices of cheese.
Nothing.
About it.
Wait, yeah. did you say cheese?
I don't know. What did you hear, Tim?
I don't know.
I said, please. Maybe I said,
no, or you said quiche. Yes.
Yeah, I said sliced cheese, but I'm it's funny because I don't really like to eat a lot of cheese. Anyways.
Oh, okay.
So that concludes our church updates. What were you going to say, Beth?
Nothing. It wasn't going to contribute anything.
Oh, okay.
Macaroni and cheese?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to do, for about 30 seconds, we're going to do Beth's ministry moment.
Great. My ministry moment today, I'll be highlighting Jessica's Bible study. Actually, I hear the missions team is always doing stuff.
Yeah, that's actually true. I didn't see this in the newsletter, but the missions team next Sunday on the 15th, in between services, we're going to be doing ice cream Sundays. So raising money for the area. It's only $7,000 per Sunday. So contribute where you can. No, it is not $7,000. It's free. Or donation. I mean, who does not want a nice Sunday on a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Clean while you can. And if you want extra toppings, please provide your own personal mustaches.
So I just put in my mustache as Jessica was updating us about the ice cream. And I realized last night that if you get the Screamin' Sicilian brand of frozen pizza,
yes,
mustaches, and it's the greatest thing since Jessica's Bible study.
Those are the best mustaches ever.
Yeah. So those are so cool. I did notice those, and plus, if nobody's had the screaming Sicilian pizzas before, they're really good.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not DiGiorno. It's screaming Sicilian.
Wow.
This week's imaginary sponsor is
Sicilian's pizzas.
So yeah, just go online and put in promo code madness and you get 20% off your first pizza. Go on the internet anywhere and see if that works.
We're just as reliable as Wikipedia.
And AI.
All right. Well, let's head into sermon feedback. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Or is somebody feeling angry?
I'm really angry right now. Sermon so nice. I watched it twice.
You know, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't know
what. Yeah, I thought it was great. Go
with this. And just to kind of briefly recap, so we had our second sermon of being, scratch that, praying human. And we focused on anger. And the book of the Bible that we focused on was Psalm 137 in the book of Psalms. And I thought it was interesting because I didn't know what direction he was going to go with anger. Because I know other churches other sermons, I'll say, that have approached anger. It's been more of like,
don't do it. It's wrong.
Yeah. It's been like a little bit more aggressive. And yeah. I really appreciated that there was the perspective of how it could be a positive thing and recognize that anger is a valid emotion that every human experiences. And if you didn't know that, you can watch Inside Out 1 or Inside Out 2, and you'll learn more about anger.
Oh, but, very nice.
Yes. But it's a natural human reaction. And I think it's good for us to know kind of like a biblical and spiritual guided way of how to respond and better, you know, approach anger. And so I was appreciative of that. And I know Amber was too.
Yeah. So,
what did you guys think?
Yeah, I'd like to, Beth, do you want to go first or should I just jump in? Okay, I'm jumping in. I was thinking another nickname you could have, Jessica, is a jumping Jessica. You know, I don't know if you do a lot of jumping, but.
It gets tricky the older you get, Tim.
Right. That's very understandable. I fully respect that. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting how Pastor Jim provided that real constructive way to look at anger. And like in most of my correspondences with people, I'm not a very angry person. I struggle with being assertive as a result because I don't have that like anger thing in me. And when I was in high school, I had a friend who told me that I don't know what came up with the saying for this, but he said that I didn't have a backbone. So that I guess that was a way of saying that I just had a tendency not to get angry, even though situations would kind of like prompt another person to do so. Like maybe I was being mistreated or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like so in those kind of scenarios, I think anger can be helpful, but also what Pastor Jim was talking about, how it can give us like a form of creativity or self-awareness or kind of like more sensitivity to our emotions. And I totally agree with that. And I think if I'm like more in touch with like the way in which maybe I could be more assertive in my life and maybe more in touch with that, like more energetic part of myself, like that is anger, then I think that I could probably promote more positive change in my life. Like mm-hmm. maybe if certain things are out of control in my life, then maybe I could use that energy to harness that and put those things in control. So I think we can really channel our anger into like a really powerful energy that can like allow us to do things that we ordinarily could not. So that's kind of how I'm thinking that I can use that. But then also I thought it was really validating for Pastor Jim to bring up the idea that we can bring our anger to God. And we can bring all our explosive emotions to God, like whether it's the highest possible anger or the deepest sadness or anything in between. And I think that's really wonderful because ever since this sermon series started, I've been praying a lot more and it's been really helping me. I think earlier in this, I think a couple of days ago, even today, I prayed to God to provide me peace in the present moment. So now I know that it's a good idea for me to express the full like gravity of my emotions to God as well in those prayers. So I think that's totally. Just wonderful. And then finally, I just thought about how I thought it was really important that Pastor Jim brought up the fact that we don't necessarily want to view everything in the Bible literally. We need to interpret like what the biblical characters and or the biblical figures are like saying in terms of the going back to the Wesleyan quadrilateral thing, the historical traditional context, and use our reason and experience to like understand that and basically come to a way that we can apply it in our life and then also like learn something from it. Like maybe there's some practical value that those biblical figures had at that time, but then also how can we apply that to our own lives? And this reminds me of the sermon series that Pastor Jim had for the book of Judges. I think the two of you probably remember this, but basically there was these different things that happened in that book, which basically those people did what was right in their own eyes. But if you looked at any individual scriptures in the book of Judges, then you would be like, wait, what are these people doing? This is totally barbaric and so forth. And it would be a totally bad thing for us to take some of those things literally. Like we're supposed to follow those, the examples that were set out in those books. So yeah, it's like, the Bible is so like amazing and how it has like all of these different like genres in it. And we can learn so much like from the examples of the biblical people. And like, it's just an amazing book. And then of course we have the story of Jesus and how he brought a message of nonviolence and love and caring and helping your neighbor. And like, so yeah, it's, that's why it's a lifelong journey for us, like following after Christ. You know, we got the biblical peoples that followed after God before Christ. And then now we have Christ. And then you have the writings from Paul. And so yeah, lots of thoughts that I had after watching this sermon. So yeah, it was a great sermon. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. Thank you. Jessica, I'm not sure. We have technical difficulties here.
Tinted chapstick, I think.
Oh, wait, chapstick? Wait, did I say chapstick?
No. Sorry. I saw her applying her tinted lip gloss that she was talking about before you went on. And then I just saw her cover her face and laugh, and I was like, I bet that didn't go the way she
was. I put a little bit on my lip because my lips are chapped. Oh. And I forgot the camera and my lips are like red.
Wait, I don't even
I'm talking about like the beauty of God, and I'm just like, I don't feel that right now. But
Jessica's like, oh. What's happening?
Anyways, sorry.
No, that was great. That was okay. A great way to go off from my my feedback there and get some comic relief. Excellent.
Anyways,
I was just gonna kind of echo what the two of you said already. First of all, most of the time, when anger is being preached about, like, it never talks about the benefits of it. Every sermon I've ever heard about anger is a sin. And that just makes me angry.
Yeah.
I'll settle for it. But yeah. I never thought of anger as being productive, you know?
And
I have just life situations going on, like I am right now feeling a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And I keep feeling bad about it because in my head, as I'm trying to process things, I think of all of these schemes and I'm like, I could do this and I could do that and I could do this. But of course I don't. I have to control what's going on in here in my body so it doesn't come out in the wrong ways.
Right.
Side of my body. And so that made me feel better because as long as I'm just thinking of these things and not doing them, then I guess we're okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And then you get that validation for yourself, like you're acknowledging your feelings, your angry feelings or frustration or anything like that. That's really important.
Yeah. But I've also been better at advocating for myself in just like a lot of different areas in my life. Like, and one of the, I took a picture of all the benefits of anger.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
So improved communication, boundary setting, catalyst for social change.
Yes.
Self-assertion. Yeah. So it also made me, feel a little bit better that like in the instances in my life that have caused me to feel anger, I'm not a person who likes confrontation, but I'm also a 40-something year old woman who's tired of being pushed around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not standing for it anymore. Like if I have a problem, I'm going to let you know, because I realized that what you do instead of talking to another person about what might have made you upset, you just let it fester and like you're just mad at this person and you don't talk to them. And like maybe the story in your head isn't even the story that is the truth.
And
so if you have a conversation, you get more information about this. It seems so stupid to put it that way, but I do feel like I've been like using my anger productively, at least with improved communication and boundary setting.
That's excellent. That's so wonderful to hear, Beth. That's an inspiration for me.
But also here's the thing. When I talk to a person who might have made me angry, I can't yell at them. That's just going to make them angry. So when you
That's true.
Want to improve the communication, you have to talk to them in a not angry tone if you want.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like channeling that energy to improved communication, but not letting it go overboard to where you no longer can have a civilized like volume control and all that stuff in tone.
So, go ahead.
It was a good sermon. I liked it. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, I know that, and this might be a lot of information that everybody will find out that goes through my head. But when I think of getting upset or angry, I think of like future high blood pressure and shortness of life. and so I don't like getting angry. I don't think, I think there's certain things to be angry about, like, you know, the injustices of the world, like things that are out of our control. But at the end of the day, I try to not get angry, but do try to find a way to find that solution. My mom's been a great, kind of mentor and example of not looking at the negative and not getting angry about things, and more so thinking of opportunities
to
learn and grow. And but I think I struggle more so with like passive aggressiveness instead of being angry.
Oh,
I will, like let's say somebody forgets that I had like an appointment or something, and then they like call me during the appointment, and maybe it's work related, and maybe they're like, hey, we need you to jump on the Zoom now. And I'm like, not going to respond because I took sick time. Not saying whether or not this occurred, but cannot confirm nor deny. And then I end up, they reschedule the meeting for a time when I'm no longer on my sick time. And I'm, you know, they forgot, you know, maybe, maybe not. Again, cannot confirm nor deny that this occurred. And I might respond with something that's passive aggressive of, well, sorry, I was at an appointment and, you know, the one I requested 3 weeks ago that I added to the Outlook calendar as well. And, you know, at the same time, it's like, is that necessary? Like at the end of the day, like, really, is that necessary? No, that's right. My selfishness. And like, that is my anger acting out. And
oh, wow.
For me, that's like, I definitely need to work on like passive aggressiveness. Because I don't like confrontation either. And that's my way of confronting, is like that passive aggressive way of confronting things.
Oh, which wow.
Is
totally
unhealthy. So that's what I was totally reminded of. And I was like, ooh, you know?
Wow.
So I know that lives there. And that is something I know that I need to work on. But I do appreciate that Pastor Jim said, remember that anger can have some benefits if we don't allow it to lead to destructive behavior.
Right, right. Yeah, Jessica. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to interject too long, but I'm not passive aggressive most of the time. What happens to me is I bottle it all up. And then I might not communicate with somebody. And that's really, really not a good thing at all.
Because
it just like diminishes the quality of the relationship.
And so
that's how I struggle with it.
Yeah, it'll lead to resentment. And
yeah,
you don't want that. Yeah. What were you going to say, Beth?
Oh, I was going to say that I do get angry, but I don't consider myself to be an angry person. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think as long as you don't let it, you know, there's people who just like, it's like they like being negative is like, they're only happy if they're pointing out the negative. Like,
yeah, I don't understand why people are like, it's like they always find a way to put themselves above others.
Right. Yeah.
Or like they'll say, well, that's not going to work out because blah, blah, blah. And instead of offering constructive solutions, they're just like happy that they were right about the.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if that's another form of passive aggression.
I think it might be. But what were you guys saying before that? I had something to add, but I
think you're on the right track, Beth. I just added something else, which was the bottling up thing. So it's you either have passive and then bottling up.
So I have just decided, like, if I want to set boundaries, I need to start talking to people so they know what my boundaries are.
Yeah.
And like, I remember the first time I had to, like, in a work situation, like, I had to advocate for myself and, like, explain the situation from my side and be like, that's not what I was upset about. I was upset about this. And then And then I said, and then I offered like how I could be supported in the future instead of the way that it ended up being, and then after I said that, I said all the right things. And like, I said all the right things and like conversation went great. But then I just went into my car and cried. And I don't know. But I'm finding like that the more that I do it, the easier it gets.
And
like I've had to like continue just in these past couple years, continue to like set my, and I'm still working and I'm still growing, but I'm finding that like it's easier now. And like, instead of being like, is this something that's worth bringing up because it upset me? I'm like, yes, it is. And so I've started just like, and not accusing, but I'm just like, hey, I noticed this thing. Why are we doing it this way or something, you know?
Right.
Making it a thing that I've made up in my own head. And obviously these people are doing this so they can sabotage me because everybody hates me. Like, that's not productive.
Yeah. Wow. I understand those thought patterns. I've had thought patterns like that for sure.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a level of like ADHD symptoms in here where like, you know, where it's hard to express our emotions to people in a tactful way.
And
we're
we're
like pretty blunt. Cause there's times where like, I'll say something and it does come off rude. And I know this and I'll be completely transparent. And like with like Amber or something, you know, and I don't even, it's not my intention, and we'll have a conversation about it and we'll resolve it. But I don't realize I'm doing it. And then I'm like, oh man, who else am I doing this to? But it's how I feel like I'm just trying to be honest and straightforward and, about certain things that I know, with people that I feel comfortable expressing my emotions with, and then people that I don't feel comfortable, that's where my passive aggressiveness comes in. It's like a safety net where I'm like,
right.
And so anyways, quick side note, but I got a new therapist that it also has ADHD, and I'm very excited about it. She's
ADHD.
That's great.
I think I remember you telling me that, Beth, and it, I'll be honest, I had my very first session with her last week and I was like, this is going to be awesome.
Wow. So
anyways, but I do wonder if that's part of it. And I'm eager to learn more.
I think it could be. I was thinking, so speaking from personal experience, what happens is I don't hold on to anger for too long if I do get a little bit angry, but I might bottle it up, right? And then I think the ADHD kicks in to where I don't end up talking to that person. And then I forget that about even talking to them about it or talking to them about anything. Because you know, ADHD just causes you to go from like, what is it? Thing one, thing two, thing three. I'm not talking about Dr. Seuss. Thing one.
No, we're done with that series.
But like going from like numerous things, just all like, that's just kind of how it is with ADHD. It's like you find so much interesting things, like maybe interesting people, right? So you're kind of upset with this one person, you bottle up the emotions because you can't talk to them about it. And then you just focus on the people that you do get along with or the things that you do enjoy. And then the other side of it, I was actually thinking about this. It might've been yesterday or like throughout the week. People with ADHD have a tendency to have rejection sensitivity dysphoria.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
Right. So that's the other thing. And I guess the point on that is like, we might be afraid to like get rejected by somebody if we show any form of anger. And then it's crazy.
Because for people with ADHD, like a rejection that should just be like, oh, well, next time, like, I can't help my reaction, but it feels like my whole world fell apart.
Me too. It's crazy. Yeah.
I know that it's an extreme overreaction, but also it makes me feel better knowing that I'm not crazy, and it does actually come with ADHD sometimes. So
yeah,
like there's kind of a reason for it. And because I know that it's there, I can like adjust accordingly. Like I still feel all of my feelings and be like, this was the most devastating thing that's ever happened. But then after I go through my tantrum, like then I can deal with it the way I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're done walking with a shopping cart outside, then you're done.
I know.
I should get you I think my internet went weird for a second. I was gonna say I want to get you like one of those miniature shopping carts, and then like I think I'm just coming up with a gift idea for you, so I'm just gonna stop talking.
Okay. I bought something a long time ago for your birthday and I told you about it, and like I keep looking for it. I have no idea where it is. But I have no idea what happened to it. And every time I see you, I'm like, to give her the thing wherever that is.
Well, just wait till my next birthday.
Right. Or Christmas.
Or yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess last point on the rejection sensitivity dysphoria. It's kind of interesting that we're talking about that, because I think the last few days I've been feeling that way, and I don't know like why, because I don't feel like I've really been doing anything wrong, but I guess I've just been like, I'm not even sure like why I've been a little bit more emotionally unstable lately. Maybe because I'm like changing my habits and things like that. And mm-hmm. And like, instead of just like suddenly distracting myself and numbing myself, like by going on the internet or whatever, I'm actually reading a book instead. And so like, that's a more like productive, creative, and otherwise like uplifting experience for me, but not super stimulating. I think like maybe that's put me more in touch with my emotions or something. So I've just been like experiencing a little bit of rejection sensitivity dysphoria for no reason really that I can think of. And after it kind of like goes away, then I'm like, wait, why was I feeling like that? And so that happened to me, I think, a couple of days ago. And so then what helped me so much was to pray to God and like, just ask for strength and like ask for peace like within him and like in the present moment, so that I could just like look at things rationally and still be self-aware of like how I was feeling, but ultimately just have a more like optimistic point of view. So I just thought, yeah, I would share that.
I'd be particularly more devastated when I'm tired. I know that that's
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, maybe I could just be really tired too. You know, tired Tim, as they say. So
tiny Tim. Wait, no.
Not tiny Tim, tall Tim. Yeah, you could call me tiny Tim if you want, but
yeah, that would be really funny. Anyways.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a nickname for my beard, but that doesn't work. Oh, you could have a bearded Burl. Because my middle name is Burl.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Great. I think we did it. We solved all of the world's problems and just.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I think need a congratulatory sound to join us.
Yeah, we do. Come on, let's hear it.
But I don't know if.
I don't know if it's going to show up on the podcast, but we have a congratulatory sound that's going. So just everybody, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it basically sounds like, you know, because we know a lot of people that listen, when you win your Oscar and they're trying to get you off of the stage, they'll start playing the orchestral music. That's basically what it also sounds like. So,
yes.
Anyways, we all have experience with that. So.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. But well, let's go ahead and dive into some prayer requests. So, I guess I'll start. I really need prayer requests to, I think my time management has been really bad. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to blame it on pregnancy.
Right.
I literally am struggling to find focus and like checking, like I used to have this rhythm where I have everything scheduled on my little reminders on my computer. And I get so excited when I get to check the box and then it disappears. And lately it's been adding up, and then it becomes overwhelming. And then you feel like you're just like stuck, and then you just don't want to do anything.
Oh yeah.
It just keeps adding up. And so, but it's tangible. I know I can get stuff done. It's just, I feel like the past month or so I've felt really off centered and like, haven't been able to focus the way that I like to. And one of those is like, you know, simple things like uploading our podcast, so listeners know that we're still alive.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, or just like very minute tasks, you know? Anyways, so that's, I think, something if, I'm requesting prayers for that I can, find, the cure for ADHD.
Thank you. I would also appreciate that prayer.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, this is a prayer that has been given to all three of us. Thank you, Jessica.
That concludes our prayer time.
I have something. Beth, do you have something?
Yeah, but you go.
Okay. So I think I could use a prayer for continuing my good habit of like not like engaging my free time with other distractions, but continue to read fiction books and continue to read books in general, because I notice it's just really helping me so much. But then also a prayer for me to kind of be like a strong person and try to find like peace in the present moment, even when I'm going through some sort of emotional instability. And then kind of like a prayer for me to pray, I suppose. I don't know that, like, what is that, like a recursive prayer? I don't know, but just a reminder for me to pray to God in those moments where I need to, kind of like in the Psalms. Finally, I think that might be it. Probably I could use the same prayer that Jessica had, like I was saying before. So that's cool. Mine.
All right.
Thank you. What do you have, Beth?
I would like just some general good vibe prayers. Just send me some good vibes.
Cool. Yeah.
And
that's nice.
If you don't, it's okay. I'll just listen to Jason Mraz and get him that way.
Yeah. So,
no worries if you're busy. But also,
good vibes.
Hey.
Also, prayers that Marlene and I make it through this improv class, because it is really scary, but it is really fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm really proud of myself for stepping out of my comfort zone, even though it's so scary.
That's
amazing. Yes. Yes.
Exciting.
It is exciting.
We can't wait to see you on SNL.
No, you probably said that last week. No, somebody said that.
I did.
Yep.
Maybe it would be like, instead of SNL, it would be Beth and L.
Beth and L.
Yeah.
It is now. Beth and L.
Oh, yeah.
Or would it be MNL, Methodist Night Live?
M&L. M&L. Nah, this ain't M&M's. This is M&L. Wait, no, that doesn't make any sense.
It's M&L, where we don't know our alphabet.
This ain't no disco, and this ain't no country club either.
This is M&L.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there was a third part.
This is LA.
I mean, technically, you know, M&L works.
My mom saw her in concert for the album.
That's so cool.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Anyway. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, M&L though, that actually works, because this is Methodist Night Live, you know? Yep.
Totally.
That's what it is. Yep.
Live 100%. From our houses. It's M&L Live. Wait,
live from live from New York. It's the Methodists. Yeah.
All right. Well,
with that being said,
stay mad, you Methodists.
We're all from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness.